America Weekend.
Carl, we've often talked about our experiences so many decades ago.
Yes.
In Vietnam. I, as a reporter in Vietnam, and you certainly as a member of the United States Armed Forces.
Yes.
In Vietnam. And you have often told the story, and even though I don't have a lot of recollection, I'm beginning to remember where you and I first met there.
Yes.
A number of years ago. But that's not my point is Vietnam, and here's the reason why. I got a note from an email from one of my grandchildren who had to interview somebody for a class assignment about somebody who had witnessed some event in history. And she said, Daddy tells me that you were in Vietnam. And I said, yes. And she said, and she gave me a list of five or six questions and asked me to respond to those questions. And then what I did is the email came in on a Sunday evening, and the assignment was due Tuesday morning.
That's a college student.
No, this is not college.
Oh no,
this is what is it, secondary school. I think she's in seventh or eighth grade.
She's learning early.
Right. Right.
So, she's getting ready.
So no, if it were a college, I said, yeah, you know, let's talk.
Let's.
You know. And anyway,
I love it.
I did answer her in a number of different ways. But some of the points that I made is that I wanted her to realize that, you know, 47 years ago, there were generally two types of people in America. There were hawks, people who supported the war.
Yes.
And there were doves, people yes. who opposed the war. And that I was there as a reporter, an observer
yes.
of what was going on. And I told her that basically I went over to Vietnam as a hawk and that I came back as a dove with claws.
Interesting explanation.
Yes. Well, because I told her that a reporter should only write about what they see and hear and learn, nothing more, no opinion, no commentary. Doesn't happen that way anymore, so it seems.
No, it doesn't.
But in those days, that's what the rule was. And I said to her that in my several weeks' experience in country was enough to change my observational mind to a dove with claws, but I was still very careful in my reports not to insert my personal opinion. I said to her, I remember visiting or talking to soldiers after a battle had ended, and they told me what had happened, and then I happened to be choppering back to MAC V headquarters in Saigon,
mm-hmm.
and then listening to that description of that same battle, it was totally different.
Correct.
You know, and I'm sure that's the way you folks who were able to tune in via radio about what you heard from what you knew.
We used to call it Looney Tunes.
Uh-huh.
We're listening now to Looney Tunes because it had nothing to do with the reality of the situation on the ground.
Yeah.
And we went through this time after time.
Well, I also said to her, I said, you know, she asked, could I explain the events that I witnessed? And I said, no. I said, in retrospect, I know that there are people in the world who hate for religious and political reasons, who exploit war for reasons of greed, and who embrace the tragedy of war for power and territory. But I certainly hoped that in her adult generation, they would see the light and never have to do or observe or be involved with the idiocy of war.
I would like to say that's going to be the case because, as you know, I have a little one.
Yeah.
In the third grade, and I unfortunately don't believe man has learnt his or her lesson in this regard. Clearly, the events of present history indicate that statement is correct. But I will say this, and let's quickly go back to the Vietnam situation, if I may. I remember standing on a boat coming down the river. Mekong River, going into a Phu Bai. As we pulled into the dock, I remember our captain, Captain Lee, standing up on the deck saying, and it defined the war right there in that moment. This is crazy. And I never forgot it. It was the way he said it. This is crazy. It's all crazy. There's nothing that makes any sense. And it didn't. It didn't. And but you witnessed it from a different perspective. We talked about this earlier. Probably the better perspective because you had an objective observer.
Well, you know, you try to be an objective observer, and I'm sure you did too, except you were participating in something that you couldn't be an objective observer.
Tough to be
you had
when
to
you're
be a participant.
Tough to be when you're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
When you're trying to stay alive. Well,
I don't know. We should continue talking about not just Vietnam, but the idiocy of conflict.
I agree. Well, we shall continue, and we move on. We have much much to go on as we continue on Smith Sabatino. And Roland, I'm going to use the phrase, we'll be back, and you're going to say, from where?
Yes.
We go
from
into
where?
We go into
Are we
a,
going somewhere?
We're going to ephemeral space.
Let's go get some coffee.
On that note, we're back.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. When do most kids take their first drink of alcohol? Well, the answer will surprise you. Here's the science of it. Kids and alcohol first rate problem, and researchers have found that a large number of individuals with serious alcohol problems started drinking right about adolescence. In fact, young people who take up alcohol before age 15 are much more likely to become alcohol dependent than those who waited until age 21. The rate of alcohol abuse more than doubles in youngsters who start drinking before age 15. What's the cheap psychological drink? This is a clarion call. First, the adolescent takes a drink, and then if they're not real careful, the drink takes the adolescent, unless you're there to be a parent and stop it before it happens. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think Green. Harrison with you.
You've probably heard of food combining, in which you eat to completion one part of your meal at a time. Our bodies digest different types of foods at different rates. For instance, fruits, vegetables, and salads are digested first, then cheese, and finally meats. Seems that if foods that digest quickly are eaten with foods that digest more slowly, the lighter food has to wait for the heavier food to digest first before the body even gets to it. During that time, that food starts to rot, fermenting and producing gas and alcohol. Some food can take 4 to 5 hours to digest, so gas, acid, and indigestion from the decomposition of foods waiting in line to be digested can cause us pain or clear a room quickly. So eat light foods first, then follow with the heavier. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.